Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. Well, as we live and breathe, we are faced with mass killings of innocent people, increase of murder-suicide, wars, pandemics, etc. As everything is changing, increased violence is our portion as we have a window seat to the destruction around us. We are challenged to face fears that others create daily. There is a bacteria of sorrow and chaos that spreads across the land, and it is silent but deadly. We need to hold on to some type of faith, hope, wherever you find yourself, to stay grounded in these troubled times. Join Dr. Debbie Green to discuss the matter and find comfort in knowing there are mental and spiritual solutions to live by to promote peaceful living. I'm Naima Latif, your co-host today, and we'll be joined shortly by Dr. Debbie Green as we take a look at the spiritual solutions to today's chaos. There are many who are aware that this particular period in time is but a cleansing. And we understand that what we're experiencing is merely the foremath of what is to come, which is a better world. But much of what's been under the surface is now coming to the surface for us to look at it and recognize that it is the sickness within us that needs to be healed. And this is what we're seeing manifested. And so for those of us who understand, we need to demonstrate what faith looks like in realizing that the creator of this universe has a great plan for our ultimate ascension into the spiritual beings that we were born to be. But we need to go through this process of cleansing in order to get there. So we are joined today by our wonderful host, Dr. Debbie Green, to give us some soulful solutions.
Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, Grand Rising, everyone. Welcome to the show. I mean, this is a very delicate topic because it deals with our inner person, you know. We can take care of that outer person all day long, but sometimes, y'all, we just neglect that inner person. So it's really important that we are, like you were saying, we stay spiritually grounded. Spiritually grounded, not, you know, in our creator, God, the source, higher power, whatever you want to call him. Okay? We stay spiritually grounded here, but you also have to have what is called self-faith as well. And I think that's extremely important. Good morning, Naima.
Well, it certainly is a great morning, isn't it? And what my father used to always say, any day that you're above ground is a great day.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's overcast here in Atlanta. Not too much sunshine today, but I call it liquid sunshine because it does look like it's getting ready to rain.
Liquid sunshine. Mm. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, liquid sunshine. Absolutely. What I want to begin today is ask our viewers and our listeners, do they orientate when they get up in the morning? Now, what does that mean? That means, do you check your being? Do you check your being? I call it orientate time for, right? Mm. What is your mind saying? Because the mind always has chatter. It's never, some people are like, oh, I'm not thinking anything. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You're just probably not paying attention to it. But you thought about something. Because we make over, you know, 50 to 40,000 choices a day. Mm. And out of those thoughts that are created, 80% are negative and 20% are positive.
Ooh.
So because of the society and all of the, I would say, I gave it a name, Naima. I did. I just called it bacteria.
It makes sense.
Because bacteria is one of those things, if you don't treat it, it starts to grow, right?
It starts to grow.
And it expands.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe that if we do this individually, it will be a wonderful thing because, again, people live for other people, but they have to live for themselves. So out of those 40 or 50,000 choices that we make just to get up in the morning, you know what I'm saying, to put our feet on the floor and take a walk, take a step, out of all of those things, you know, how much are we doing to actually gratify, but most of all, satisfy this being that we have? And I say that we have because everyone has a being. You have a physical being and you have a spiritual being. And we take care of that physical being most of the time more than we take care of the inner being.
Yeah.
Because guess what? If you're hungry, you're going to eat. If you're thirsty, you're going to drink. If you're cold, you put something on. So, and it's an instinct, is it not?
Absolutely.
It's an innate ability, right?
Right.
So why is it not an innate ability to take care of our inner person?
Because we keep believing that we are the body that we're wearing and not the inner person. And the inner person is who we really are. So like you say, you get up, you wash your face, brush your teeth, do all the things to take care of the body. You take care of the vessel that you're in. but you don't take care of you, the spirit
right.
that's animating the vessel. And
correct.
That's where everything starts. So our routine, as you said, needs to be first to check within. What about that moment of quiet meditation to check
yeah.
our being? What am I feeling? And lately I've been having some very detailed dreams that give me a very distinct state of mind when I wake up. And sometimes the dreams are pleasant, sometimes they're kind of disturbing. And so I have to take time to reflect and even reset. Because if I'm upset by what I've just experienced in the dream state, then I have to take time to restore myself to a state of inner peace.
Correct, correct. And that's very important. Restore. I think restoration should be daily.
Yeah.
You know, don't wait until something happens to do something, you know. And I think it is very important, as I said, to orientate. So to orientate, you check your mind. What is my mind thinking?
Mm.
What is my heart feeling? What is my physical man giving me also is communicating with me as well?
Yeah.
And what is my inner man saying? And you say, wow, is that yes, because we're mind, body, and soul?
Mm-hmm.
How can you neglect part of yourself? You know,
absolutely.
The thing about this is, Naima, I think as human beings, we become human doings,
mm-hmm.
okay? So which means we live more so on the outside of us than on the inside of us. It's easier to fulfill a need on the outside than it is to fulfill one on the inside, from what I've been told by my clients and patients at the hospital.
Right.
They're like, oh, I can do something for someone else. It doesn't bother me. I give them the shirt off my back. But when it comes to me, I don't give me anything.
Because it don't feel
so I walk around neglecting myself.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
We have been somehow, somewhere in our lifetime, we've accepted the incorrect belief that we're not worthy of the best treatment.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. And it's an incorrect thought, but we've accepted it, and that's what's manifesting when we'll give to everybody else and make ourselves last or neglect ourselves. And it took me 60 years to figure out, because I just recently figured out that I was overworking myself because somehow in my mind, my belief was I had to earn the right to stay alive. And if I wasn't working up to capacity, God would figure out I wasn't worth protecting, and I would be, you know, snuffed out in some random accident.
Ooh.
And I didn't realize that was, and I don't know where that thought was planted or who planted it, but I finally realized that I had this habit of being this extreme overworking workaholic, not giving myself enough sleep, and always taking on more than was physically possible to do because I believed I had to earn the right to stay alive.
Ooh.
How insane is that? But I realized that was the subconscious drive that was making me abuse myself. And
absolutely.
People have to think of, when you find yourself neglecting yourself, you have to take some time and analyze what untrue belief am I holding that's making me do this. Some people are believing that they'll be rejected by loved ones if they're not earning enough money, so they overwork. Or some people are like, if they're not physically attractive enough, they'll be rejected. So they focus on, as you said, you know, really making sure their physical being is acceptable, and even to the point of plastic surgery or other kinds of things because of fear. Any imbalance is always based in fear, and fear,
absolutely.
False evidence appearing real, it's always something that's incorrect. It's an incorrect belief that we're holding. But as long as we are holding on to it, it seems real.
Absolutely. And the thing about this is we have, it's called a true self and a false self. Okay, let me help you explain, because when you said that to me, I just wanted to give you some insight. side because I know where it comes from. Okay, and so the false self clearly believes that it has the incapacity or the incapabilities of fulfilling its life due to what it's heard, due to experience, consequence, repercussions of some kind that cause an altered reality in the ego. Okay? And it can come from many different factors. It can come from something you read, something someone said, something that you felt that you didn't understand, and a collaboration of all. Okay? That's a false self. The false self is also a creation of self-defeat, self-sabotage, self-destruction. It loathes the incapabilities of just living life abundantly. It always makes excuses. It always complains. Never thinks it's love. Never thinks it's good enough, you know, in that capacity of thought patterns, which just gives a feeling of emotion of, you know, it could be anywhere from shame to remorse to sorrow or despair, right? Then you have the true self. The true self is the one that's the Godhead in us. The Godhead, for those who believe, is linked to the supreme being, the supreme divine. Supreme divine is totally encompassed in a peaceful state. It lives for happiness. It lives for just to be fulfilled. It lives for just to accomplish something. It lives to give back others. But it's also in a balanced state because it has to complete itself before completing any other task. And that is a format and a rule of the true self, is that know thyself to know God and know thyself to complete a task or any type of assistance for another human being, you know? So it goes back and forth. So those two kind of struggle a little bit, you know, throughout time, because remember, we were brought up being codependent.
Yes.
You know, to being told what to do. And in society, we are still in that same mindset. Go to work, you get paid. You don't go to work, you don't get paid. You see what I'm saying? You have to, everything requires a tit or a tat, which means if you want something, you got to give something.
Yes.
Okay? So, you know, and the Word of God says much is given, but much is required.
It's required, okay? Absolutely.
So that's what that means. It's like much is given, but much is required so that you can receive
right.
A state of balance, a state of understanding. So when you were saying that you didn't feel, because it's a feeling that you have, you didn't feel that you, you know, were living according to what it, that you thought you were living because of what the reasons thereof. And yes, that is a false reality.
Yes.
It's a false reality, but it's a virtual reality.
Yes.
The virtual reality.
The virtual reality that I created in my own mind. Yeah.
But what I just told you, you have a true self and a false self. And they struggle every day, Naima.
Yes.
And every human being.
Yeah.
One is going to win.
Yeah.
They go back in that pendulum move, back and forth, but one is going to win over the other. How do we know? How do we know when it does? What does a person do? What's their actions and behaviors to actually give off or to give a detection of what wins over? Well, you look at that person's actions and behaviors. That's going to let you know what wins.
Yeah.
If they want confusion, if they live in drama, if they live in fear, if they live in hate.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the false self.
Yes.
That's the false
Something
self.
Something they're believing
it,
that is not correct. Yes.
Exactly. So we call it the angel and the devil on the shoulders, right? Both of them you're going to listen to.
Yeah.
You're going to listen to, but not only listen, you're going to believe. So look at these days and times that we're in. And we look at the demographics, and we look at all of the chaos on the land, you know, on global destruction with humankind.
Yeah.
And we ask ourselves, which one of those selves are winning over?
And, you know, when you look at a lot of people who are living in extreme fear, and their responses are fear-based. That's that false self that's winning, the delusion that they're believing, that virtual reality that they've created in their own minds, the paranoia that makes people react to other people as if those people are going to cause them harm, and they're not. You know, all of those things that we create in our own minds that we react to that are unreal. So the state of fear that people are finding themselves in, a lot of it has to do with the bad news that they hear all the time. But if you think about it, is that happening to you right now in your own home, in your own space? Is that something that you are actually experiencing, or are you projecting fear over what could happen to you based on what has happened somewhere else? And are you experiencing it as if it's happening to you, even though it isn't? And I think about the fact that when people get obsessed with, is somebody going to commit an act of violence against me, they go through all the stressors as if it has happened. But it is only a fear in your mind. And so you end up experiencing all of the distress, all of the anxiety, and all of the physical results of stress and anxiety as if it had happened to you when it had not. And this is what happens when we bombard ourselves with all of the negativity. We're experiencing it as if it happened to us, and it didn't. If the reality is you're sitting in the safety of your home, in the comfort of your own environment, your loved ones around you, no one's attacking you, why are you feeling the anxiety and distress and depression as if you had experienced what you just heard someone else experience? Why are you choosing to go through that? And it takes a while for a person to realize they're creating their own misery.
It's
not necessary.
Exactly. And we call that learned helplessness.
Mm.
Because to think about this is, remember, everything is encrypted in our mind to either be a thought process of choice or a thought press of, you know, a denial.
Mm.
Either you're going to choose it or you're going to deny it, which is you're going to accept it or you're not. So it gets, everything gets our energy from what we believe in, because we are spiritual beings. We have the ability to gravitate those things towards us. You know, the Word of God clearly says, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So why is it not the mind that God said? He didn't say the soul. He said the heart. He said because the heart holds what? The issues of life. It holds the issues of life. So when it holds the issues of life and common knowledge as well as psychological knowledge and physicality, your heart is the one that determines your behavior, not your mind.
Mm.
Your mind is only a thought process. It can move your body if your heart is in a area. Okay, let me prove my point, okay? When a person's in fear, let's say they have a car accident of some sort, automatically the brain goes into gear. It releases the adrenaline from the pituitary gland, then circulates that throughout the body, and then the body gets ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
The body gets ready to go in fight or flight mode. But before it gets, look at this now, don't you know that chemical goes through the heart too? Because the blood is pumped by what?
The heart. Everything goes through the heart.
Every feeling, every thought process goes through the heart. You know, my sister Beata, look at this, Queen, had something to say. Facebook watchers, Beata Robinson said, Grand Rising Sister, great question. That should help us focus more on the soul's journey and the spiritual influences in our life. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we even think about it, right? So the heart is communicating effectively, hopefully, because it's not always they connect, you know. But they should connect and communicate, right? They communicate with the heart, and then the heart gives out the action. Either you're going to run away or you're going to fight or breathe, of course, okay? mean?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So let's look at that approach from where we sit. I call it the window seat.
Mm.
We're at the window seat looking at around us. We're listening. Because guess what? We can't ignore it.
Right.
No, you can stay in your home, close your windows, in your doors, turn off your phone, but guess what? It's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to come out one day. You can't stay in. You can't stay inside because then you're isolated.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? So now the safety of this, the health-mindedness of this is to understand what you're dealing with. Instead of allowing it to put you in immense fear, because remember, immense fear causes an emotional overload. Because the brain automatically, it's an automatic thing. It's not something you have to choose because it just happens. When we are in fear, we automatically get emotionally hijacked.
Ooh, yes. That is true. You can't think straight, and your feelings are being manipulated. Then your feelings can be manipulated.
Right.
Because
exactly.
you're in fear mode, yes.
So what manipulates and what deceives the mind at that point? False evidence appearing real.
Absolutely.
Fear has an action. It has a voice. You know, it has behavior. And it is a real, up close and personal thought process. And the thing about it is, it will think for you if you're not careful. It will predetermine where you're going. It will predetermine what you do. Mm-hmm. And it is very, very self-destructive. So as we do know that is upon the land, we look at murder, suicide. Let's just take that example. What is created in that mind of that individual? Has it been created in that very moment that person wants to self-destruct? Mm. Did they do that, or was they contemplating this for long periods of time to take someone else's life and then take theirs?
This kind of action appears to be as a result of a long time false belief held in the mind and heart. Whatever the fear is, whether it's this person's going to leave me and my life is going to be miserable and I'm going to be publicly humiliated and financially devastated, whatever pain they're imagining is going to happen, say for these murder suicides, you know, person kills himself and their spouse and all the children. It's a thought that they have allowed to germinate,
yeah,
and grow. And so by the time they act it out, it has grown way out of proportion. But for them, it's a reality. And so they're acting as a result of something that is inside of them that they believe is true, a fear that they have that they believe is real. And so the person who decides they're going to punish this person for having hurt them, the person hasn't hurt them at all, but they believe that, and then they're going to remove their own life so that they don't face the awful consequences of what they've done and the devastation, the whatever punishment in terms of prison or whatever the case may be, they are believing that if they kill this person and themselves, then everything will be over. I'll just end it all. And that's someone who's not understanding that your consciousness doesn't die. You will continue to live, but they're believing that they're going to create a nothingness as opposed to the pain that they're afraid is going to continue if they keep living.
And not only that, they are very selfish.
Absolutely.
And hate has consumed them.
Yeah.
It has literally consumed them. Bitterness, discord, side has consumed them. They're no longer a person of feelings. They're no longer a human being.
Right.
Now they become something else. Because nothing destroys itself.
Nothing destroys itself.
I mean, on purpose, intentionally, and takes away from its own self, which means, think about that. I just recently heard in Huntsville, Alabama, and this is common, just like mass killings. It's very common. Murder-suicide is on the rise. It's been on the rise since 2020. It's increased at least 40%, you know, as well as mass murder has increased at least 35 to 40% as well. So this particular family, you know, she had a bond of protection on him and had it on him for a while because they've been married since 2013, have three beautiful young females, my daughters, okay? And, you know, he attacked her. You know, he stabbed her, stomped, he did everything. This was before she put the protection order on him. She, 3 weeks, 3 weeks prior to this, she lifted it. And this is the result. He killed her, killed himself, set the house on fire. So.
Did anybody survive?
No, not those.
None of the children?
Well, it was one child that was home, and she survived. She escaped before it happened. But we ask ourselves, okay, many questions really need to be taken seriously in that situation. It's apparent that the husband had a mental illness, either treated or non-treated, because he had anything that is obsessive, compulsively, something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong in that person's mind. It's not just the upbringing. It's the transformation that they might have experienced with whatever went wrong as a child just became extremely intensified. Mm-hmm. So now they're extremely off balance. Mm-hmm. They don't have self-faith, apparently. They don't have God-faith. Because if they did, they would not do what they did. So they didn't have anything to hold on to. Predetermined by choice, I'm sure. But at the same token, we can look at the wife, okay, the mother of the children. Being that the husband did abuse her prior, why would you lift it? He convinced you.
He convinced her that he was a new person. He was not that same person who attacked her, and she believed it because she needed to feel that he loved her. I mean, whatever drew them together in the first place, they had an intimate relationship at one point. So that was someone that she had loved at some point. And she wanted to believe that he was the person that she thought he was when she loved him and they had their intimate relationship. She didn't want to believe that he was that violent person that attacked her.
You're right. She did not want to believe the truth, which cost her her life. And now her children have to grow up without parents. So, you know, it is something, again, we go back to the same topic. You know, what is really happening into the minds of people that causes them to self-destruct? Understanding, because they're not spiritually grounded. Because if they were spiritually grounded, they would know, I have a problem. And I need to do something about myself. Instead of letting that bacteria then spread out to cause more chaos.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in the minds of people. When anybody wants to self-destruct, they get consumed with hate, consumed with all of the areas that are not healthy. But we're going to go to break. Mm-hmm. And when I come back, I want to discuss a little more about the psyche. And spiritual growth.
Psyche and spiritual growth. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries, to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com. I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
They lost it.
They lost it.
It's like the stock market crash when people start jumping out of windows. I mean, they just...
You see what I'm saying?
They couldn't take it.
So we didn't have any balance right there.
Right.
Because we, at that point, some of us lived for the outside world.
Mm.
They lived for the outside world. I mean, I am nothing if I can't go to church and sit on a pew and watch my pastor.
Yeah.
You know? I need to make sure, you know, these things are I need to go outside and I gotta go this place and I need to go that place, and you know, it was all a part of a, you know, overloading societal movement that got shut down.
Yeah. And this was really an opportunity for people to learn how to access,
yes,
God within. You don't have to go to a building. God is wherever you are.
Exactly.
But some people never,
yes,
learned that, and so they panicked when they couldn't go someplace, as if, oh, I'm not going to be able to survive. Like you say, you know, people believing that if I don't go into this building, I don't have access to God anymore. Oh, the world is going to an end. No, God was always with you wherever you are. So we needed to learn some things with that experience, and it was a great teaching opportunity for us to realize that the inner being is who we are, not the outer being, not the body, not the possessions, none of that. It's the soul within. That's who we are, and that's who we have to feed and nourish, and we don't have to go outside to do that. Everything we need is already inside of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when it comes to the psyche, Naima, and our listeners and viewers, we have, you know, Sigmund Freud was a great psychologist, and, you know, I leaned mostly to him to explain this so it's not so complicated. We have the superego, the ego, and the id.
Mm.
I call it me, myself, and I.
Mm.
You know, and the thing about this is we are tripod beings, and so is our mind. We have a tripod mind, and it's a tripod being, you know, mind, body, and soul, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when there is unrest, okay, unrest is anything that makes you uncomfortable. That disturbs your peaceful pond of things. And it could be something you read, something you heard, or whatever the case may be. It could be a loud sound, you know. People are unrest by so many different things because of the times we live in.
Yeah.
You know, you walk in the grocery store and you hear a loud sound, you automatically,
yeah,
want to get out of there.
Or run if you can get to the nearest exit. Yeah.
You know, and so this has permeated our psyche in the area of the ego processes. So the ego is altered now. And for those who don't understand that, what I mean by altered is that sounds, we come through our sensory areas in our brain. Your ear is your audible and your eyes is your visual.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of those sensory, when it comes to the sensory organs, you know, it creates something very, very quickly. I mean, like a blink of light.
Mm-hmm.
It creates something. So if we are not consciously awake and have self-awareness of our being, then we are then subject to this unrest of the bacteria. Okay?
Mm.
Now, the bacteria is, again, it is the thing that actually is consuming a lot of people, and that thing is called fear. Okay? That's given the name. It's called fear. That's what it's called. Fear is something that's created in the human mind. It's not on the outside. It's in the human mind. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, if you see a bear, and, you know, if you saw that bear all the time, and you used that bear would not be afraid. But if you saw a bear the first time, automatically, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the bear's going to attack me. Oh, my life is in danger.
Yeah.
And that bear might not have you. That bear might not be thinking about you.
Exactly.
But, you
know, exactly. So I compare it to, if I could give you an example so you can see it in the physical. You're walking down this pathway in the woods. You walked down this pathway many, many times. And, you know, you did it night and day. It didn't bother you. But, you know, you were very comfortable walking down this path. But one day, when you walk down this path, a bear jumps out. It just literally comes out, and it roars at you.
Mm.
And so you stop in the midst of walking through that path, and you become extremely afraid. And so the bear roars, but it doesn't attack you. It roars and it keeps walking. But because you were so afraid, you didn't continue your path. You stopped and you turned around and went back from where you came from. So this is how the human mind deals with fear, okay? Because, again, when that person's going back down that pathway, they're going to think that a bear is going to jump out.
Right.
But that's not altogether true.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they have no evidence, you know, because fear is one of those things. It's called false evidence appearing real, but it's not. It's not real. It's only a figment of your imagination. Now, if you have some evidence that you see, that you hear, that's happening in your moment, that is saying, oh, yes, I need to be afraid. Okay, I need to do something, whatever. Okay, that's something totally different. But if you're stigmatizing this, if you are imagining this, and those imagination becomes reality for you, now you are creating what they call a fear-minded mindset.
Well, that's what happens when people react to something they have created in their minds as if that is real. So this person who walks down the path and a bear jumps out and roars, in their mind, they're imagining this bear rushes at me and rips me to pieces and I'm in all this agony of pain. So they're responding to that scenario that they have created when, in fact, the bear just roars and keeps on going. The bear is just saying, look, I got my babies over here. I just want to let you know, you know, don't come over here where my babies are. But that's it. You know, the bear's going on about his business and you're responding to something that never happened, but in your mind, you have created the scenario and all the feelings and emotions that come with it that distress you. So you've experienced something that never happened. And that's what so many people are living right now. They're living with a memory of an event that they created, and that event never happened. But they're going psychologically and emotionally through all of the distress and all of the physical anxiety as if it had happened, and it never did. People are living in their emotion. They're living in their delusion. They're living in their virtual reality. And so all of this stress and fear that people are experiencing is a result of something that never happened to them at all.
Absolutely, because again, you know, the area of the brain doesn't rationalize. It's the subconscious.
Right.
It doesn't have a rational ability to distinguish a thing from a thing.
Right.
It doesn't have any sense of timing, any sense of any, you know, awareness. Consciously, eyes wide open, you have to make the choice. Is this thing uncomfortable for me? Is this thing making me feel fearful? You know? And then once you determine that, then you have to do something about it. You're either going to stay in fear or you're going to say, you know, I can't do this to myself.
Right.
I have to allow my faith to keep me. Because if my faith doesn't keep me, what will?
Right.
Your
belief, your understanding has to be that the creator of the universe wants your highest good. You
Absolutely.
Have to believe that. When you are believing that there is an evil power that is greater than the power that created the universe and that you are subjected to some type of attack from that power, if you're believing that, then that's a reality that you have created in your own mind and you're responding, again, to something that never happened. Living
exactly.
in fear of something that you believe has the power to hurt you and you've imagined that it's hurt you and you're experiencing the hurt that never happened. So when people find themselves in a state of anxiety as a state of being, always nervous, always upset, always fearful, always paranoid, and they're experiencing it as if it is their reality, that's what creates that state of anxiety as a state of being, where you're always upset and you're believing worse things have happened than have actually happened. You can hear about various acts of violence or crime or attack that happened somewhere, but they didn't happen to you. But just like that bear that growls, in your mind you're experiencing as if you have been attacked, as if you have been hurt, as if you have suffered loss, and you have not. This is why we've been advocating over and over and over again. Stop watching bad news, because you're experiencing the pain and suffering of other people that didn't happen to you. Uh-oh. And people believing that, well, I need to know what's going on so that you can do what? I mean, are you a counselor? Are you going to go and counsel these people after you hear their news? Are you a nurse or a doctor? Are you going to go and heal their wounds after they've been shot or stabbed or strangled or whatever the case may be? Are you a mortician? Are you going to go bury the body once you find out they're dead? If you're not going to be doing anything in relation to that person, why do you keep needing to hear about their distress, their struggle, their pain? Why do you need to keep reliving their pain if you really are not connected to it at all, other than in your mind? So why are you choosing to experience their pain? That becomes kind of like a voyeurism after a while. You're enjoying suffering, and it becomes a state of being where you're choosing to make yourself sick, make yourself suffer. Why are you choosing that? And I see people obsessively listening to bad news and listening to it over and over and over again, and then that is what creates the paranoia and the distress, and ultimately it manifests as physical sickness. So we end up harming the physical vessel that we're living in with our thoughts, which actually manifests, as you said, through the heart, our emotions. Our emotions create the physical expression in our bodies, the illness. So, as you've called it a bacteria, it truly is a bacteria, because it truly is making us sick. And we have to choose to stop feeding ourselves that sickness.
Right, absolutely. Again, you know, what you expose yourself to, just really be conscious of how it's affecting you. And, you know, some people can read news in the newspaper. I'm not a news watcher, you know. I do have an app that's on my phone, because I'm kind of, the only thing I do track is domestic violence, because that's because that's something I'm working on.
Absolutely.
In the future to see. So I look at the statistics and look at where in the 50 states where the increase is, different factors of those things, but I don't let it permeate in my being. It is just for research purposes only. But I was talking to a nurse practitioner yesterday, Naima, and she was saying, she's like, Deb, we have to do something, because I find that seniors and the younger children are really greatly affected by what's going on. And so she wants to put together, or establish or develop, if I may say, an ACT team. An ACT team is where it is a coalition of people, of professionals, to actually go out into the community and provide community service. Mm-hmm. And, of course, through, you know, insurance providers of that nature. But to help them in some capacities, because a lot of people have been they've been shutting down, and they have not been getting what they need because of immense fear. of going out, especially our geriatric community,
yes,
which
yes.
are seniors.
Yes. It's terrifying for seniors, you know.
Yes. Right now it is extremely, since that situation in the grocery store.
Yes.
I've heard
so many people afraid to go to the hospital, afraid to go to the grocery store, afraid to send their children to school.
Yes.
So we have to look at that. What are we learning about our society? And if we see that these places that used to be safe are now places where we're terrorized to go, what is that telling us about ourselves? And if we don't take some time to reset what is within, then we're going to create a society where no one can interact with anyone at all because of fear.
That's right.
And the more we hear about it, the more it happens. So that's showing us that talking about it doesn't make it go away, it makes it increase.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we choosing to increase it? All over the world, there are acts being permeated by humanity. They're good and they're bad. They're helpful, they're hurtful. If we're choosing to focus on and promote and advertise all of the hurtful behaviors, that's what we're choosing to expand, and that's what we're going to be responding to when we could just as easily choose to focus on all the acts of kindness, the goodness, and the helpful work that's being done. We could choose to focus on that, and people would feel that, oh, there are good people. I am safe. But we have allowed ourselves to be bombarded with the worst of news that's creating such an atmosphere of fear that now we can't even enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that path that you walk through, that you've enjoyed, that nice walk through the forest, and now that one growling bear, now you can't even enjoy the forest anymore, even though the bear never attacked you.
Mm-hmm.
The fear has made you shut down, where you now, your quality of life is diminished. So that's teaching us that we have to stop focusing on the worst of human behavior and calling it news and making money off of the spread of it because people are obsessing about it, because it's making us sick. Like a bacteria, it's making us all sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We got a caller on our switchboard whenever you want to take the call.
Okay, we got to
take a break in a minute. So.
Okay. Do you want to take it after?
I guess we can take the call real quick and then we'll go to a break. Area code 773-521, Grand Rising, and give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Hello, ladies. Kofi, I'm in Michigan today.
Oh, wonderful. How's the weather in Michigan?
Same as Chicago, but it's a little warmer here, though.
Yeah.
It's about 15, and just stay up here for the night. I wouldn't have came up here, you know, if I fear. One thing my mother told me growing up, nice to hear about people getting hung in the 60s. And I was like, Mom, you know, somebody get hung in Mississippi. And then she was looking, boy, come here. She said, do you know him? I said, no. Said, but don't worry about it.
Mm.
I said, well, you know, I'm an empath, so, you know, the thing is, we're so quick to adhere to what happens to others instead of relying, instead of understanding on what happens to us. It's like it's like we choose to, we want to be alerted. We want to have that fear, you know. You turn out the light. And, oh, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. You know, everybody's always trying to put you in a situation of fear. And this is where, you know, I don't say we anymore. We is a very dangerous word.
Right, depending on who you're including in that we, because there's different kinds of we's, you know. Humanity. We as a portion of humanity. There's a we of the people who live where we live, you know. So it's all of that. But
because
right,
when you say we, you're attaching yourself to the attach yourself to the unknown.
Now that's an interesting thought. Well, we gotta take a break, but when we come back,
I is the word that I use.
Well,
I is the
that
word,
makes
not
that, that makes sense because you can speak for yourself, but you can't always speak for other people, and you can't always include other people in your thought. We gotta take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for calling, Koopy. When he comes back, I wanna address something that he mentioned, which is about people exposing their children to bad news, and how do you help them process awful things that they're hearing? Because, you know, that creates an image in the mind of a child when they're hearing about shootings, hearing about, you know, and of course he mentioned the time when people talk about lynchings. In the mind of a child, how does that affect them? And how do you know when they are extremely disturbed by something to the point where it has affected their mind, their heart, their spirit? And how do you address it? Well, you know, we'll talk about that with Dr. Debbie Green when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Attention or aren't affected, but when children hear and see things, their minds, they have very powerful imaginations. So to be that young and to hear that kind of horrific news as a child, what have you observed in terms of what young children are expressing, any kind of behavior changes that indicate inner distress or, you know, fears, because so many people are unconscious of what their children are hearing. They just have the news on, the TV on, and they have the child in the house, and they're just oblivious because the child might be sitting there playing or whatever, and you think they're not listening and hearing and absorbing, but they are. And that could affect their perception of life forever. So what have you observed in terms of children responding to some of the latest news, especially the school shootings? And if you're in kindergarten and hearing that, you know, how have they been responding?
Well, the age demographics that I work with is between the ages of 12 and 17. So, but I do also know this, that there is an increase of anxiety, or we call it mental illness. There's an increase of mental illness from the ages of starting at the beginning of 8 years old up till 17. And that mental illness is in the scriptures and symptomatics as depression, recurrent, as well as generalized anxiety and social phobia. So they are with the school, just from what I've been told by some of my patients, the biggest challenge for them is they know they're not protected and not safe. So going to the schools every day is like, to them, it's like they feel that they're going into a place
like a
where, yeah, you're not, it's like all the windows are open, all the doors are open, and anybody can come in. They say they almost like they don't always want to go in because it's so hard to get out of. So you're going in a building, and you got to find an exit if something goes wrong. So that's the biggest part about them. As one of my patients, she said, she was telling me, she's like, you know, when I go inside the school, I immediately start to tremble. And now the teachers, you know, because they're so heightened, and, you know, some of them are, you know, they're so heightened to the point where they literally get kind of short with you, you know, like if you're not moving quick enough, if you're not, if like when we're walking down hallways or and we got to get excused to the bathroom or any of those types of things, because if we're having a moment. And they have actually amended, but this is something that's been going on for a while, so where they would actually put together programs for children that have been affected immensely by, you know, mental illness, but in extreme fear situations that we're dealing now, because that's when we saw the increase. So they are allowed to move a little more than most times. So most of the time they would have to that. Also, you know, they want you in one place. They don't want you moving all over the place. But because of the situations and circumstances thereof, they have been EAPs, which is their individual plans for each and every individual that's been greatly affected by...
And for those who don't know, can you explain what it was, EAP? Can you explain what that is?
It is a plan that the teachers, the counselors, and the parents get together and they have a meeting. And that meeting is based upon the mental health of the child, mental and emotional health of the child. So if the child goes in, let's say, for example, goes into a classroom and begins to have a panic attack, they are allowed to go to what they call a safe place.
Mm.
The safe place can be anywhere into the library of the school or some other room that's been created for that child.
Mm.
The child cannot, you know, most of them, like the older children or teenagers or whatever, they usually excuse themselves and they go to the bathroom, but they don't do that anymore. They kind of guard their movements as much as possible, just in case if somebody's feeling suicidal or anything like that is happening, because suicide is on the rise right now. It's spelled, especially cutting, what they call a self-calming mechanism. You would say, how can you be self-calming by self-inflicting? But that's what they tell us, that when they cut on their flesh, their, you know, their arms, legs, sides, wherever they choose, is it gives them a sense of relief. I know that's odd, but
that's what.
This is the minds of our children, you know. This is the minds of what they think. And the social phobia, I mean, you find it's hard for them to even go into a room of three people. They're so afraid. That social phobia has really, really increased immensely. So they don't trust their peers. Like if they even hear anyone, you know, talking or texting on social media about guns or hurting someone or whatever. And also it's been an increase in surveying. I call it policing. I don't know, is there policing where since the ongoing, since the mass murder in Uvalde, where the young man was actually on an app the whole time, and they've been Facebooking and all of these things, so now they are really focusing, they're focused
on social media
now. They should have been focused all the time, but
someone
always has to die.
Yeah.
Before
people wake up. Yeah, that's
it's the norm.
Yeah.
It's the norm. We are a society that's based on what they call extreme.
Right, right.
Something
a tragedy before we realize we had a problem.
So just to answer also that question to the effects, because that's what you asked me, of the mind, what they have, they disassociate. You have some disassociation means that child zones out right there. They get into almost like a catatonic state, where they just don't say anything. They shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're talking, you have to talk them out of it, you know, and get them grounded again. What we usually do, we have some patients that are extremely affected by fear from previous things in the home, as well as society, listening to social media, all of that just kind of makes it more magnetized. So we will help them get spiritually grounded by, you know, again, orientating, like I said, you know, what's your mind saying, and get them to talk to us. Drink cold water, because that grounds you. Because when you drink cold water, your mind is in focusing on the coolness of the water, as well as the swallowing of the water, and then it kind of comes back into reality. So it takes anywhere, sometimes it takes them up to 5 minutes. I've seen them stay in it as long as 10 minutes. 10 minutes, and then we have to do bring them out. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it sounds like you got massive cases of PTSD, you know, that's happening.
Yes, massive cases of PTSD, absolutely, because it affects us, again, you know, we dream, we have nightmares, we go through, I mean, I'm going to say we, not as all of us, but I'm saying how PTSD will affect a person.
Right, and for those who don't know.
An experience. Now, the thing about this is you didn't have to go through the experience at all.
Right.
But you can hear someone else went
hear
through
about
it.
That's
still
what
again.
Saying.
It's that's, called paralyzed fear.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when other people have gone through it and you hear about it, it feels like you went through it. And for those who don't know, PTSD means post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's common among people who have been in wartime situations where they've seen extreme violence, they've had life-threatening situations, they've maybe even been through violent situations, and they are still experiencing the stress from that trauma. So when we have children that have, some of them, as you said earlier, you know, are living in homes where they are abused, and so they're living with stressful situations and feelings that they can't get out of the environment that's harming them, that creates PTSD. And then when you have people who are hearing about these acts of violence, which seem to be close to them, even if they're in another part of the country, it still feels like it could happen where I am right now. It could happen tomorrow to me in my school. It could happen in my grocery store. When it feels like that, where your life is in danger and you're feeling like you're always in a state of danger and always possibly going to experience some kind of pain, possible death, to live in that state of consciousness, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. You are constantly feeling like your life is in danger. And
that
becomes a state of being.
Yes. And I want to remind our viewers and listeners is that whatever you pay attention to, you are creating.
Mm.
So the subconscious mind is a recorder. It records everything that you, and it will play it back to you. It will play it back to you. It will play it back to you in an action that you do, a habit that you create. So we have to be careful what we're creating and allowing to breathe in our minds. And I'm serious about that because it's extremely important that you stay mindful of what you're feeling inside. If you feel uncomfortable, then you need to talk to someone. Just don't think that, you know, yes, we pray about it because that's what we do as believers. But if that thing is ongoing and you find that it's disturbing your sleep, it's disturbing the way your ADL, which is activities of daily living, if you find yourself not communicating effectively, even if you find bits and pieces of memory loss, let me get that out there. That is a continuous consistency. If you find yourself not eating, loss of appetite when you usually would eat, you know, a normal meal, pleasures in life. You don't do the things that give you pleasure anymore. You know, if you find a decreased net. So I'm just giving you these signs that something is not settled inside in your inner person. And again, what we do sometimes as people, we wait till extreme happens before we do anything.
Yeah.
You know, do something. I mean, whatever it is, if you journal, write down your feelings, which is extremely important. Because if you're not talking to somebody, something, you need to get rid of it somehow. That means words have power, what we feel, so we're not allowing ourselves to speak those words outwardly. Guess what it affects? It affects the way you think about yourself.
Yeah.
It affects the way you think about the world you live in. Yeah. And it affects the way your body chemistry bowel syndrome because you're stressed out, because that's what that's that is one of the medical conditions of extreme stress. Stress from extreme bouts of fear and confusion, not knowing what to do, or taking on too much, you know, from outside world of, you know, different things. Like you said, I call it the worryation.
Worryation.
When you start worrying excessively.
Okay.
Worryation.
I
got to
remember that one.
Yeah, worryation. That's what it is. And then if you feel like you are a victim, in any aspect of being a victim, victim to the world, victim to your family, victim to your spouse, victim to your children, okay, that's an issue.
So now...
That's a major issue because you're going to create inner fear.
So now when people feel helpless, and they feel that they can't stop or prevent harm from happening to them, and they're living in that state of mind where they're always believing that, it's like a person who's living in a home where they're abused, and maybe they're beaten all the time, spouse, child, whatever, they're being beaten, they can't stop the beating, they can't prevent it, they live with the constant fear that it's going to happen, and they can't prevent it. What state of mind is that they're living in, and how is that affecting them physically and emotionally and psychologically, and how will they act out expressing that state of fear of being a helpless victim?
They're living in a life of torment, Naima. There's no gray shaded area there. And being a victim, think about it. Now, in the actual psyche sense, when you are in fear, okay, you're either going to fight, you're going to run away, or you're going to freeze. So if you stay in that situation, you're freezing. You're not coming out. You choose not to come out because you're like a deer caught in headlights. You are in fear. You're scared to move. You know, and it's easy. Fear will take over the mind if you don't actually acknowledge it, because what it does, it trumps the faith if you're not careful, consciously. You know what I mean? Because a person that has faith in itself and in God, they're like, wait a minute, what am I? No, I can't. You know, automatically, you know, you're going to come out of that thing. You may not know how you're going to come out, but you're going to be looking for self-escape somewhere. Right? And I'm not saying that those who, you know, always believe in God that don't know how to come out, because guess what? That's not true. We know in the Christian faith, as well as in the church especially, there's a lot of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
There is. There's a lot of depression and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I've had pastors come right now. I'm actually getting ready to do a forum and a training to pastors of 8 churches that told me that they needed help with domestic violence in families as well as mental illness in the church, and they don't know what to do.
Well, I'm glad that they're calling you to do this training because people assume that a church pastor has all the answers and knows how to deal with emotional illnesses or psychological illnesses or mental illness. They're not trained in that. I mean, they know theology. They know the Bible. They do not have professional skills in how to deal with mental illness and how to deal with issues of abuse. And we have been mistakenly expecting them to fix these problems, and they can only do what they've been trained to do, tell you to pray. And, you know, if you're getting beaten and you go to your pastor and say, what do I do? And I've experienced this in a religious community where there was an issue of domestic violence and they had a workshop about it, but they didn't have any professionals like yourself to come in and talk about it. They had a panel of men, you know, religious people, religious leaders, and basically they said, well, you know, what women need to do is learn how to speak softer and you know, not argue. And I'm like, okay, you obviously know nothing about domestic violence. It has nothing to do with a woman making a man hit her. But, I mean, that's all they knew to say because they didn't know they weren't professionals. So when you don't know something, you can cause more harm. So I'm so glad that they're calling you in to give them insight because this requires professional help. It's not something you can throw religiosity at. And we have not understood that people who are religious leaders are not trained in the area of mental illness. They cannot help because they don't know.
Absolutely. They don't know.
They mean well, but they don't know. And that is a professional skill. And, you know, religion doesn't answer it. It's not like, well, you must not have enough faith in God. That's why your husband slapped you. You know, that kind of, no, that's not it.
No, because we know that even today, and we would never thought about this, but it has happened, a person will walk, go in a church with a gun and kill someone right in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just happened a few weeks ago. You know, again, we deal with domestic violence in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here we go, right? This is reality. This is reality. So, you know, what was month one do? This is place we were supposed to feel safe. Again, we go back to that same thing. We don't feel safe in no arena.
We don't feel safe, absolutely.
In no arena.
Yeah,
but we still have to keep a mindset of freedom.
We have to. We got a call on the line. We can take real quick before we take a break. Area code 312-671 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts before we take this break. Go right ahead.
Well, on Yashvon, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful with some black power, too. I heard, this is Minister Plump in Chicago, Illinois. I heard, though, from experience that most people, human beings, do have some type of mental problem, and they just don't know that they don't know that they have this problem. So when a person is in that situation, and then I heard Dr. Green say that, you know, they people that have a mental problem, they just don't know. So is that a fact about people that may even have PTSD, and yet, you know, they mean well. That was a statement. They mean well, but they do the wrong thing, and that's the problem right there. And I've learned that if you got a problem, you first got to admit that you got a problem, you got to face that problem, and you got to constantly act on it through prayer in order to solve that problem. Do that make any kind of sense, what I just said, Dr. Green?
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Minister Plum. We appreciate that. People not knowing they have a problem. They have a problem.
If they are aware. See, the thing about this is, sir, everybody's not aware that they have a problem. See, this is the issue, okay? You have a certain amount of people that walk this earth, sir, that have a diagnosis, but untreated, okay? And they, because they're untreated, sometimes they are in denial, okay? I don't have the problem. If you can tell them, well, hey, you need to go get some help. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Something must be wrong with you, because there's nothing wrong with me, all right? So that person is either in denial or have no conscious awareness that they have an issue. Now, you mentioned PTSD. Now, you're saying that a person can walk around having PTSD and not know? Yes, sir, they can, because they think it's normal, that this is their behavior. They think it's normal. And you have people that watch them. Oh, they always been that way. Uncle so-and-so, he's always been saying and doing things. Okay, so now they think it's normal until Uncle so-and-so takes a gun and puts it in his head.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So this is the issue, and if we can talk culturally for a moment, in our black society, this is a big issue because mental illness is taboo, which is that most people, that's what they do. Oh, we're going to go to Pastor so-and-so, you know, we're going to pray about this, you know, and then it's going to be okay. I'm not denying prayer does not work, because it does, scientifically and spiritually. We know it works. We also know what's in the principalities of such things, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Okay? All right? However, we got a natural side and we got a spiritual side. Just like we got a natural world and we have a spiritual world. Both of those areas have to be treated and have to be given a sense of balance before that person can be healed.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Vieta? I'm sorry.
Yeah, somebody had can you speak about
question.
Oh, okay. Can you speak about bipolar conditions that contribute to depression? We got to take a break. When we come back, I think that's a great topic. And also, maybe if you can even elaborate more on people who are told, okay, we'll just go to the pastor and pray about it, when it's a serious issue of somebody who's mentally ill and possibly dangerous,
yes.
You know, How do you make the right judgments of how to handle that above and beyond, you know, just see the pastor and pray? You know, how do you make a judgment to do something beyond that when it's serious? So we'll be right back after this last break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. We got another call on the line to take when we get back as well. So we'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Both of those what they call spirits. Bipolar is two, where it is you can be on one level and also be on the other level as well. So the goal is to get to the baseline. Now, I mentioned two. I mentioned one that with psychosis. The second one is manic depressive. So the third one is going to be what they call it's called clinicomatic. I know that sounds kind of odd, but it's where the bipolar is reoccurrent, is severe, also with depression, with manic episodes, and psychosis, all in one, which then can affect that person's brain chemistry, and they would have to be actually administered a particular psychotropic called lithium. I don't know if you ever heard of lithium before. Lithium is a very old, I mean, it's been out for a very long time, but it works. And it's nothing but salt. This is what's amazing. It's sodium chloride, some type of sodium, but it is for the brain. And so it helps them to balance where they're not doing anything on the extreme. And it brings them back what is called a baseline. So that's what our depression is kind of. It affects all of those areas because very seldom that you see bipolar without depression. You may see it just with mania. And that's also reoccurring, could be episodic. Reoccurring means it's cycling. It's over and over again. And episodic, which means here comes a strong trigger that then causes that person to go into a bipolar or a episode of things. Now, if they don't take medication, because we know bipolar is a condition that requires ongoing treatment, unless you really have to do and have a strong sense of after taking psychotherapy and really monitor oneself daily to understand how your mood changes are. But if you are not able to do that, then you need to make sure you're taking your medication, because without medication, you are going to go to those extremes and visit, you know, mentally those areas that I've just got to explain to you. Mm-hmm. So eating, okay, it does influence, you know, our diet and exercising. It does, you know, shape the way we think. But again, if there is a chemical imbalance in the brain, they really do need medication with psychotherapy.
Wow. Well, want to take this caller now? So we'll take this caller, area code 773-977. Introduce yourself and give us your thoughts.
Well, good morning. Good morning to all. This is Lois here in Chicago, Illinois, in the South Shore area. And, you know, as I always say, ain't God good just to be here and to be alive and to hear this program. As always, I mean, every one of your shows, they're so inspirational, you know. But anyway, getting back to, we were talking about some things earlier, and all of the topics are beautiful. But the pastors need help. The pastors need prayer. We go to our pastors, and you know, and most of the churches are so unorganized anyway, whereas in most cases the pastor's running just about everything in the church, and all the problems occur mostly in the choirs first, and it comes to the pastor last. Okay. So the pastors need help. So the flock needs help. If you go to a psychiatrist, you go to a doctor, the doctor, you know, say a psychiatrist, that psychiatrist has a psychiatrist. And most of the time, we were taught in psychology, you never go to the psychiatrist. You request his psychiatrist. Because we all have a problem. It says, what do you say? You have to learn to accept everybody the way they are, because we all have some type of problem. It might not be monetary, but, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It's, you know, it's really all in God's hands, no matter what this man does. You know, we have been looking at the sunshine for many years, you know, and no man, no president, no governor, no one has been so gracious to us. You know, we all have some type of disorder. The secret of it all is to never admit to it. If you say, yeah, I have a problem, I'm crazy, they can lock you up and put you in a mental ward, at least for 30 days. And this state of Illinois, believe me, they'll do it. They'll do anything here for money. So we all have to just say, why is all this killing taking place? What are we going to do about this? We're going to keep talking. We're going to keep talking. Yes, I feel that we all have to continue to pray. We have to pray for each other. We have to be thankful. Be thankful for the sunshine. It wasn't guaranteed that we wouldn't see it today. It's a blessing that we're seeing it right now. And I feel that if we all utilize the Second Amendment, the constitutional amendment that was guaranteed to us by whom? The Republican President Lincoln or whatever. And so if we all bear arms at least for 6 months, I suggest 6 months, and I believe we can stop a lot of this killing. And that's just my opinion. And no matter which way we do it, God is still in control, and we're thankful. And so I'm thankful for this time, and thank you all, and I love you so much. Oh, the thing I want to remember is to walk in the light. That's the song. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shines bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus is the light of the world. So that's all we have to do. Keep walking in the light. Love you all. Thank you. This is Lois in Chicago. Bye.
Love you, Lois.
Thank you.
I know you got a voice. I thought you were going to sing it for us.
Thank you so much.
But, you know, she said something that I want to address, and that is people who are in positions where they feel that they can't admit they have a problem. And I think, you know, of course, it comes to mind, church pastors who have to put on the facade of, I got it all together because I'm close to God, and that's what people believe. And so when they're in distress, who do they talk to? Sometimes they don't have anybody, and we've seen pastors committing suicide. And then also police officers, people that are seeing horrific things day in and day out, they have to be suffering stress as a result of what they're experiencing and witnessing, and yet if they complain of any kind of emotional distress, they could be taken off the job. So they have to keep going day after day, even though they probably need to take some mental health days when they've especially had to witness an extreme crime, violence, you know, a child hurt. These things affect your mind. So what do you suggest we do as a society in changing the stigma of mental illness and seeking help? And also, what do you suggest we do to incorporate the spiritual healing that each person needs, especially after they have experienced a trauma? How do we change our culture or incorporate that into our culture, or even transform our culture so that we can accept it? First of all, admit we have problems and not be stigmatized or judged harshly or punished, and then accept help and include the spiritual healing that has to be a part of the help.
Yeah. As I was talking to a few pastors recently, and I think their issues or their current conditions is that because they are expected to have this certain posture in life, that other people don't know that they go through depression. Mm-hmm. You know, they go through, I mean, there's, like you said, there's something wrong with all of us, but at the same token, being totally aware and wanting to do something about it, that's something totally different. I think Ms. Lois, she said just ignore it or put it to the side or something.
Yeah, you,
I think
said deny it, which people are doing that, but that's not making it go away.
No, that's
making
that's
it manifest somewhere else.
We don't want to stuff it. Mm. And I think denying is suppressing, okay? Mm. It's no other way around it. If you deny something, you're not dealing with it.
Right.
And so it doesn't go away. It just gets stronger and more powerful. That's
right.
All it does.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's receiving its energy from you. It's inside of you, but it needs to come out. It needs to come out in some type of way. So long story short, when it comes to dealing with our spiritual understanding and also dealing with pastors and lay folks, you know what I'm saying? The relationship that you have with your being as with God, because think about this. I want to read this to you. This was actually something that I've given daily, which is a word daily I have here on Bible Gateway. And this came from Matthew 7, 13, 14. And it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What does that mean? So we can understand that from a physical, a metaphysical mindset. Let's digest that consciously. So when we allow ourselves, and it doesn't matter what title we hold, Naima, right. You say, well, we allow ourselves to then allow things from the outside, inside of our mind. Some things are involuntary and some things are voluntary. So which means that we have to do with this thing called mental filter, okay? Mental filter, what I was talking about earlier, orientating. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is my body saying to me? And what is my spiritual man, you know, communicating? Communicating with the being. You got to communicate with your non-tangible and your intangible, you know, your intangible and your non-tangible side. So it's extremely important to know thyself. If you don't know thyself, then you're no good to no one else. Okay?
Absolutely.
You have to know yourself. And even to God, how can a pastor give a word and confidence if he don't have confidence with himself?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So if he can't, right?
And if he's too ashamed to admit when he needs help, because then he starts to cover it up. And
right.
It doesn't go away.
Suppressing.
Yeah, and it comes out in some other kind of way. Yeah,
denying it is suppressing.
Absolutely.
So we have to be spiritually balanced. By being spiritually balanced, which means understand that greater is he that is in us than he is in the world.
Mm.
We are carrying and we are equipped to do so because we walk in powers and kings and queens upon this earth.
Yeah.
We're not victims of anything.
We're not victims. That's an important state of mind. We got another caller we can take before we wrap up. And area code 407701. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your words today.
Greetings, sisters. This is Viata in Orlando, Florida. It is hot in here in Florida. But we're staying cool. Thank you for this important discussion. Wow, you could go on to part two on this one. But tomorrow morning, I want to invite everyone to join me for health and well-being because this will be a continuation of what you're talking about today. Our soul journey. You know, when we talk about spirituality, we got to talk about our soul journey. Because that's when the invisible elements have to be talked about, like emotions and all that you've been talking about. But tomorrow my topic is bringing good news to the mainstream media news. Because I've been collecting so many important topics this week that the mainstream media is bringing out. But I'm going to bring some good news to what is really fake and bad news. So please join me tomorrow morning at 8. A.M. Eastern Time, 7 Central, right here on Female Solution. And, again, thanks for this topic.
All right. Well, thank you, Viata. Looking forward to some good news tomorrow. I think we got a minute to take one more call, maybe about 30 seconds. 773-263, you got about 30 seconds to give us your thought. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Grand Rising. This is Rashida. I think that we all deserve treatment, especially when we're having a lot of anxiety that causes depression, because depression can lead to mental disorder. So if we all can acknowledge, especially as a whole a community, that there's a lot of depression and disorders that's in our community, especially the homicides and the unsolved homicides, that we have this and get together as a group, a group of people, and put pressure on our legislators to create legislation that would assist us with ridding the problems that's depressing us in our community, such as homicide, especially unsolved homicide, every day in every community.
I can definitely understand your. Well, let me let Dr. Deb address that point you just made. Is the answer something legislative, or is it something that we can do, like you mentioned to the young lady about forming support groups? Are we empowered to do something above and beyond whether or not our elected officials do something? And what would you suggest we do?
Well, just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a people to make a change. Okay, so while we're looking at our government officials, state, county, or whatever, city, okay, you can sit there and look at them and wait on them if you want to, but ain't nothing going to happen in your time frame of what you want. So one should say, I mean, right now the COVID is still out there. Okay, we understand. It's been 3 years. Okay, get over it. Let's just get over that. Okay, because movement has to happen in order for change to be produced. It's nothing you can do about that. So again, create your own. Meet. Right now we can do virtual meetups. Right, if you don't want to leave your home, go on the app. You know, create a virtual meetup. And just put it on Facebook wherever you can so that people can see it. And then you can just start your own thing, all right? If you want to create support for someone else, because I'm sure someone wants to hear it. I'm sure somebody wants to talk about it. Then we have to create ourselves. But, again, if you're looking for anyone to do something for you, you will be waiting. Because people's perceptions are totally different. They don't focus on the things that we want to focus on, not all the time. You may, people, we are more alike than we are different, but again, change is only created when a person is the catalyst to change.
Ooh, there we go. Well, all righty. Do it yourself. If we need healing, mental health, spiritual healing, we need to do it ourselves. Before we go, Dr. Debbie, there's a program that you do that I think our people need to know about that can give them some spiritual healing. Can you give us the days and times of that?
Okay. Are you talking about Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday night.
Yes, I'm on Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Soulful Solutions. So you can come and tap in at 8 a.m. And I am a doctor, but I'm also an apostle in the church setting. So I give a rhema word, a word of encouragement, and a spiritual guidance and a spiritual understanding of how we can continue the practicality and live a productive life. Join me tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. And we'll be glad to hear you.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for all
thank
you do.
Thank you,
Facebook
Love. Thank you, everyone, for being the support.
Yes.
Part 2 is coming next Thursday.
All right.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kunyong, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.